this Leading with Excellence podcast featuring the 2017 Indiana Superintendent of the Year and the Superintendent of Vigo County Schools in Terre Haute, Indiana, Dr. Chris Himsel. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, Executive Director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. This Leading with Excellence podcast allows our listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence. It reminds us that our leaders are also our neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. You know, superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. And although that is all true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, a learner, and a servant leader, someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and a genuine care for people. Let's dive right in and learn more about our guest, Dr. Chris Himsel. Welcome, Chris.
Welcome. Welcome to Vigo County.
It's We're actually sitting here at one of the major universities in our state, Indiana State University, located in Terre Haute, where your school district is as well. How else would you describe Vigo County and the school district to our community or to our listeners?
Well, we are actually one of the few school districts in the state that are countywide.
Wow.
So everybody in Vigo County is a part of the Vigo County School Corporation, which means that we have urban, suburban, and rural. We're blessed to have four higher education institutions. We've got St. Mary of the Woods College.
Yes.
Rose-Hulman Institute of Technology, Indiana State University, and Ivy Tech. So really, our students have an advantage, and part of what we're trying to do is how do we partner with them? Obviously, we're trying to figure out how to bring in new industry. We're the kind of the healthcare and the manufacturing hub for the Wabash Valley. So it's a very interesting community that tries to tie together huge farmers as well as manufacturing, healthcare, and then higher education.
You mentioned how vast your school district is, and I know that you have been actively engaged in looking at some efficiencies with relation to facilities, and you recently created a really unique partnership with your city. You want to talk about that relationship between the city government and the school district?
Yeah, it's actually it's a county and city. Senator Greg Good passed a piece of legislation that allows us to have the opportunity to do something that no one else in Indiana has got the ability to do, which is to form a partnership with city or county government to help facilitate school renovations or new construction. Our county commissioners believe that they have the bonding capacity to help us build, construct a new high school.
Okay.
That would be with the help of our casino foundation that's here local. Our county council disagrees, and they don't think that we have enough money to do so. So the oversight board is taking a look at what our school board would like to do, which took us about 18 months to pull together. They're taking a look at the county finances, and they're making a determination. Is it in the best interest of the residents of Vigo County for this partnership to move forward? I don't know where they're going to land. I'm obviously hopeful that they're going to land there. We have a lot of needs here. If we were to renovate all of our current existing facilities, we would be talking about $1 billion. Our enrollment was at 21,000 students back in 1971 when Terre Haute North High School and Terre Haute South High School were opened. We now have about 12,000 students.
It's quite a shift.
District-wide. So we're dealing with the realities of our enrollment. We're dealing with the realities of state funding, which, as we know, is not keeping up with the rate of inflation. We're dealing with the realities of the property tax reforms that have happened through the years, as well as Senator Enrolled Act 1. And we're trying to figure out how do we move forward in a way that best meets the needs of our kids. So we're moving forward with decreasing the number of elementary schools so that we have 600 or 700 in an elementary school so we can get some efficiencies, around 900 students in a middle school. And then we're going from three high schools to two. North High School and South High School combined have fewer students than North or South had individually back when they first opened.
Wow.
And that's been a hard reality for some members of our community to come to grips with. It's about dealing with some of the realities that have happened. And there's people in our community with a tremendous amount of pride, as they should. We often talk about if you're from Vigo County, you can do anything. And we've got examples of that throughout. Mm-hmm. We've got people who play professional sports. We've got people who lead worldwide organizations. Mm-hmm. We've got people in very influential places in government, as well as, you know, racing.
Yeah. That takes us into our next question. Sounds like engineering was the pathway you thought you were going to take before you decided on education. What was that shift? Learning a little bit more about the job, but what was that pivotal point that you said, I want to become a teacher?
You know, it's interesting. I grew up on a farm. We grew up on 2,000 acres of row crops, which back in the 70s and 80s was huge, mm-hmm. as well as lots of livestock. And I thought I was going to be a farmer until the 80s happened. And when the 80s happened, you know, people were losing their farms. We had John Mellencamp singing songs about it.
Yep.
And I was encouraged to look at something different. And I really thought I was going to go to Rose Holman and start working in farm chemicals. I was actually a chemical engineer until I found out what an engineer did. And I've often said I got into this profession for all of the wrong reasons, but I would like to think that I stayed in the profession for all the right reasons. I got in it because I thought I'd be a basketball coach.
Yeah.
And I did coach basketball.
Common story. Indiana, it's something that a lot of people aspire to do.
So there came a point when I applied to be an assistant principal at multiple locations, and I got multiple offers. And at the same time, I applied to be a varsity basketball coach, and I got no offers. And I quickly understood where things were starting to head. And so I've been in administration ever since.
Full transparency, Chris, we go back 25 or more years. When you were an assistant superintendent in Lafayette School Corporation, I was a principal in Tippecanoe School Corporation. We worked with now Chief Justice Loretta Rush for the Indiana Supreme Court, and really developed a relationship there working to try to help some of our more troubled youth in making some better decisions. Your career has taken you to Kokomo, to up to the Fort Wayne area. You've been a superintendent. You've been a teacher. You've been a college professor at the University of Indianapolis, mm-hmm. and just a number of things. Put that all together. What has that pathway done for you? And you recently had an opportunity to teach, go back to the classroom and kind of relearn or reorient yourself with what our teachers do today. Talk about that pathway a little bit and how that's brought you to be where you are today in Vigo County.
Well, it is a unique set of experiences, and they all tie together. It's amazing how being here in Vigo County is like pulling little parts of my whole entire career. But started as a teacher in Pike Township, went to Perry Township and taught and coached and became an administrator. You're right, we met in Lafayette and became a principal of Tecumseh Middle School and Lafayette School Corporation, which was when you were at Battleground. Yep. And then Dr. Eiler tapped me on the shoulder and said, there's other things that you are capable of doing. Yep. And if it hadn't been for Dr. Eiler, I wouldn't be a superintendent.
Just an amazing leader in his own right.
Oh, absolutely. But during that time, I did take a little side trip over to the University of Indianapolis and helped develop their principal preparation program and helped write a lot of curriculum because I was a curriculum person at the time. And the dean called me in and she realized that I had gotten the program was up in really good shape and she was proud of it. And she was coming in to tell me that and wanted to know what my research goals were now that I had time to redirect since I got the program up and going. And I was honest and I said, I don't have any research goals. So that's when I went back to Dr. Eiler and said, would you welcome me back in Lafayette? Can I come back and do what I was doing before? And he said that he would give it deep consideration as long as I applied to be a superintendent somewhere else. Mm. And that's how I ended up being a superintendent.
Chris, I want to shift gears a little bit. We've known each other a long time, so I know that you have some personal interests, too, that help keep you grounded. Some of them are involving physical activity and obviously spending time with your family. What do you do to get away and just to clear your brain?
Well, you know, before this current tenure, I would have been a really poor person to ask that question for because I didn't do things to keep me well-grounded. But when I retired from the superintendency up in Northwest Allen County Schools, I was trying to figure out what to do. And it actually started with doing some walking. Mm-hmm. Then the competitive juices started flowing, and I thought, I wonder if I could still run. And the next thing you know, I'm actually preparing for my fifth half marathon coming up. And that is one of the things that I do. And when I came out of retirement, and actually started teaching at Ben Davis High School. You talked about me regrounding myself. That was something that my wife and I talked about, making sure that I continued to those habits of staying clear, to take some time to myself. And so I've continued to run, and I have to set goals, which is the reason why I run the half marathon, not because I'm any good at it, but because it keeps me reminding that I need to go back out and continue to run and do that. And that quiet time really helps keep me grounded so that when I'm at home, I'm dad. I'm a husband and I'm a dad, and it keeps me grounded. So when I'm there, I'm focused on doing that, and then helps me get through those days that we have as a superintendency where they don't always go the way you thought they were going to go or the way you would like for them to go, and have a release so you can move on.
Chris, I want to talk a little bit about your family. Really, it's a unique story. Do you care to share that at all?
Deb and I are blessed with five adopted children. Our first one was actually adopted when we were working in Lafayette together. Andrew is now a senior at Indiana University.
Wow.
He is from Taganrog, Russia. And that was quite a journey where I actually, in Lafayette, if you recall, there's a lot of English language learners, a lot of of new language learners. And we worked a lot of that in Lafayette. It was my experience of traveling to Russia for the adoption of Andrew that helped me understand what our ELL students are going through. When I look up at the signs and everything's written in Cyrillic alphabet and I don't understand what people are saying, I understood what our English language learners are going through.
What great perspective for you.
And so it's, like I said, every aspect of my life has brought me together in terms of things that have happened. When I was at Northwest Allen County Schools in 2012, Deb and I were blessed to adopt three kids, Ella, William, and Ethan from China at that time. And then a few years after that, we adopted Matthew, also from China. Wow. So we've been very, very blessed. They have taught me things. They have made me a better person. I know that Deb feels the same way. And I can't imagine a life without them, but it's a little bit of a different journey.
Yeah.
But it's been a journey that also had many lessons along the way that has helped me understand. I think I'm a better administrator, a better teacher for kids who are special needs, for kids who are special education or have English language learner needs. Or gifted needs. I mean, we've got the whole spectrum. Kids that are into sports, kids that are into arts. Our five kids represent pretty much the entire spectrum that we encounter in our schools every day.
That's amazing. What great perspective to have as a leader. And what do you think, or what do you believe has been the greatest leadership quality that you bring to the table that has helped you to be successful in so many places?
Well, number one, the trait of just listening, and helping people feel heard. And I know that there are people who don't think they're heard because you don't implement what they want you to implement. That does not mean they've not been heard, or they don't realize that you listened to everyone else and everyone else had a different idea. But when you can help someone understand or make them feel as though they have truly been heard, the thing that's common, they all want what's best for their kids.
Absolutely.
They all want what's best for their kids. And that's a starting point for everybody. And then it's the perseverance. When you live on a farm, you can't give up. There's always, things don't always go right, but yet you still have to finish it. So how do you make sure you stick with it? And so it's combining all that stuff about listening and then having that attitude, that mentality that we're not going to give up until we have found a solution to what we're working on.
Leads me to two more questions. I know our time's getting short here, but you have, digging a little deeper into that, being fairly new, you've been here for several years, but being fairly new, when you get into that type of a situation and you just wish people would know something about you, right? That somehow they could see inside of your heart and inside of the passion and compassion you have. What is it that you would want them to know if you could just say, hey, here's who I am. Here's what I believe.
You know, the thing that I think a lot of people forget when they just talk to a superintendent in general, we're just people.
Yeah.
Our kids at home do the same things that their kids do to them at home. You know,
we make the same parenting mistakes.
We make the same parenting mistake. You know, they don't do their homework and they forget to bring stuff and they forget to tell us that they need to be picked up. I'm just a person like they are, trying to do the best we can and get through day to day and try to make positive difference. The difference is I just have different job responsibilities. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I'm just like everybody else who's trying to do the best by their children, raise their kids to be as good as they can be, provide for them. And that's what all of our parents are trying to do, that same exact thing.
Yeah, I've mentioned several times, you are seen as a leader in the state of Indiana. You were recognized as the Indiana Superintendent of the Year in 2017. You are the superintendent of Vigo County. When you think about those experiences and think about what leading with excellence looks like, the name of our podcast, what does that mean to you?
I think it's important to know where you're going. I think it's important to know what do you stand for. And for us, it's been a mantra for mine, and people who have worked with me are going to, they can already quote it. We're here to develop the talent and nurture the creativity of each learner. Mm. But you also have to know what are the parameters and the guardrails that you set to help you get there. And it comes down to providing healthy and safe learning environments that engage, support, and challenge each learner. Mm. And when you start with that basics, you know, like when we're talking about our reorganization plan with our school modernization, it's about creating healthy and safe learning environments.
Yeah.
That enhance learning instead of become obstacles to learning. Mm-hmm. It's about consolidating our resources so that we can engage our kids in things that are of interest, that we can support them when they need help, that we can challenge them to go further than they ever thought was possible. And we do so because we're helping them develop their talent and we're nurturing their creativity. Because quite frankly, we to predict what kids are going to be doing 25 years from now, when I think about jobs of today, they weren't even on my radar screen 25 years ago, yet here I am teaching and leading schools to try to help them develop into those jobs that I didn't even know existed. Well, the same thing's true today. Mm-hmm. We're helping kids develop talents. We're nurturing their creativity, and they're going to do jobs that as of right now, we can't even imagine them.
Yeah. Engage, support, and challenge. Yep. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been the 2017 Indiana Superintendent of the Year and Superintendent of Vigo County Schools in Terre Haute, Indiana, Dr. Chris Hemsel. Chris's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope today's conversation helped you to see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions, it's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.